that as a believer, our first job is to listen and follow God. It doesn't start with us and what we want. It starts with Him. We don't move forward with our intentions and our purpose. We move forward with His.
Thanks for joining us again for the LifePoint podcast. We are nearing the completion of our foundational series, DNA, with the message Intentionality and Purpose. Here is Pastor Kelly Rhodes.
Well, I'm so thankful to be back in the States today after we have just returned from a week's worth of mission trip in Haiti. You're going to hear some more about that later on today. But we are continuing in a series called DNA, where we're asking this big question: what makes us? What makes us who we are in Christ? What makes us as believers? What makes us as a church? We're looking at each strand of what we have determined to be our DNA. As we prayed about this and we went through this, we talked about this. This is kind of what we want to explain. It explains not only who we are now, but who we're going to be in the future. You know, your DNA in your body tells everything about you. It tells the hair color, natural hair color, that is, that you're going to have. It tells everything, even some of the things that you're going to struggle with. It's in your DNA. You know, my family has DNA issues of heart problems and heart issues. And so that's some things that we have to look at and think about. But DNA, it defines who you are. It's part of what you'll become. And today, as we get ready to look at this particular strand, we're looking at some very important pieces of who we are as a church. Now, next week, we're going to wrap this thing up. There are going to be baptisms next week. You don't want to miss it. If you've made a decision for Christ and you haven't signed up to be baptized yet, you need to do that, because next week, we're going to do it, and it's going to be a party. You don't want to miss next week. But I'm so thankful that we have been in this series. It's the longest series we've ever done, and it's really, really opened up a lot of eyes and really kind of, I think, helped individuals, not just as a church, but helped us as individuals. But this strand today is very important, and it's this. It says that we will do everything with an intentionality and purpose. God does nothing by chance, and neither should we. We have a specific mission that requires specific steps to fulfill it. So God does nothing by chance. Now, you might be thinking about, as talking about a church doing everything with intentionality and purpose, that would maybe start with the pastor, or that might start with the church board or teachers in the church, leaders in the church doing something that everything we do is done with intentionality and purpose, that it starts there. But actually, if that's what you're thinking, that's not quite right. We all have someone else we need to consider. We all have someone else that we're going to report to. And as pastor, I'm no different. As the church leadership here, we are no different. We have one person we're going to answer to. We all will answer to the boss. Now, we're going to look at this. It's actually, there's a typo in the notes, because sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I make mistakes. I know you're not that way, but I am. But it says for Corinthians, but it actually is First Colossians. But it starts Colossians 1:15. It says this, and we're talking about the boss. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Him or through Him and for Him. Did you know that when you create the authorities, that makes you the authority of the authorities? It says that He is the one who has established these authorities, who created these authorities. He's the boss of the authorities. Now, we live in a country where we have the freedom to elect our leaders. If we have someone in the office that we don't like, guess what? In the next round of elections, every so many years, you'll have a chance to say, I don't like you there. If enough people don't like that person, then they're not in office anymore. Now, you may think that it's the media that places people in power, but it's not. They only work to influence you. You might think it's people with a lot of money that place people in power, and that's not the truth. They only work to influence you. And so when we look at things in our culture today, we need to understand that we, the people, are the ones that have authority. Now, if you're one of these people that really likes to watch Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, or and maybe you read those kind of websites or you read those kind of newspapers, you follow politics a lot, I want to challenge you to go home and read Romans 13 and see what the Bible has to say about authority in politics, because it's going to really kind of show some things to you and help you see it. Because when you read that Romans 13, you're going to see the truth of the issue, that this God who made the authorities is the ultimate authority over everything else that we know. Even in our free society with all of our voting, he is the one who ultimately decides. It is still his will that's ultimately completed. It all revolves around him. And would you expect anything less than God, from God? He is the ultimate authority. Verse 17 says, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Other translations say that he might have the preeminence, which means that he would be first, that he would be supreme above all others. First place. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Can you imagine this? That God was pleased to have all his fullness. This is a critical theological point for us, because Jesus was fully man. He was born of a woman, but yet he was fully God. All the fullness of God dwelled in him. He was unique in this aspect. Fully man, yet fully God, which makes him supremely and preeminently unique among creation, which means he was also qualified. He was the only one who was qualified to finish the rest of this passage, because it says that through him was given to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Can I just tell you something? No one else can do this for you. I mean, this is the boss. This is who we answer to. No one else can pay that price. No one else can grant you this reconciliation. It's not going to come from your mom or your grandma or grandpa or somewhere else. You can't buy it. It comes through him and through him alone. So that gives him unique authority over our lives in every way. We all answer to the boss. I believe with all of my being, particularly as we talk about something like intentionality and purpose, I believe with all of my being that as a pastor, as a leader within the church, as a father, someone who wants to lead my family, that as a believer, our first job is to listen and follow God. Our first job is to devote ourselves to hearing and following him. John 10:27 says it like this. It says that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jesus was saying that something that characterizes my sheep from everyone else's sheep is that they know my voice. And not only that they can recognize that voice, but they follow it. They follow it. You see, when we're talking about intentionality and purpose, it doesn't start with us and what we want. It starts with him. We don't move forward with our intentions and our purpose. We move forward with his. And why wouldn't we? Why would we not move forward with his purposes and his intentions? Because his are the ones that are going to play out anyway. In fact, this is such an important thing. I think we want to highlight this so much. This is going to be our memory verse today. So if you can please stand with me. This verse is coming from Proverbs verse 19. This is something we should understand. And man, this has played itself out so real in my life. But it says this, if you'll just repeat after me. Many are the plans in a man's heart. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 19:21. You may be seated. Thank you. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. My plan was to play football in the National Football League. But God made me 5'10 and slow. My plan, my purpose, everything I worked for, everything I dreamed of, everything I wanted for my life, that was going in this way. And guess what? God said, I have something else for you, Kelly. His plan, his purpose prevailed over mine. And I'm so glad that it did. I don't want to be the guy, I don't want to be the pastor who's so stuck on getting my way, on seeing my dream prevail, that I miss God's purpose for my life. Our call as believers is to so pursue Him that His will becomes our will. That we listen here and that we follow exactly as He is calling us, so we can live the lives that He has designed us for. You see, we serve a God who does nothing by chance. And neither should we. Nothing by chance. Remember, we're made in His image. Each of us were made to bear His reflection. When it comes down to purposes and why we're here and what we're called to do, this is one way you can really boil it down very simply. We're made to reflect His image in this world. God's called us to that. He's given us that unique mantle. He hasn't called my dog Festus, as holy as I believe Festus is, to bear His image. He called you. He called you. So we better know the aspects of God's character that He's called us to. It's vitally important that if we want to be His people reflecting His light into this dark world, that we understand more and more about Him. And one thing we have to understand about God is that He is intentional and purposeful in everything that He does. And one thing I want to talk about real quick is something that I believe many of us have struggled with, many of us have a problem with. We've had a hard time understanding and are even accepting. And so if that's you today, I just want your heart to be open to what we're about to say. Because when we talk about this intentionality, we're going to talk about God's intentional purpose for you. Now, I want you to know that it doesn't revolve around you. Life is not about you. But that God intentionally created you the way you are for a purpose. If we get over here to Psalm 139, verse 13, it says this. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." How many knitters do we have today? Anybody a knitter or a crocheter? No? No knitters and crocheters? We have those? We got one. Thank you for being here. We need more knitters and crocheters in the world, I believe. I really don't know the difference between knitting and crocheting, but here's what I do know, is that you don't knit things accidentally. When I went to college, my mom or my grandma, she knit this blanket for me, and it was for me, it was in my favorite color. It was this beautiful, deep green emerald. I saw it, I thought, wow, I want a blanket like that. And although the thread was the very same color, there was a wonderful pattern that was woven, knit together in that blanket. And it was beautiful. And I watched my grandma with her arthritic hands work those little hook things, whatever you call them. And every loop, every piece of yarn that passed through was all done intentionally. It wasn't an accidental one in the group. I mean, it was all done specifically. And I watched her build this thing. And so when I read this verse, that's what I think about. I think about how we are knit together in our mother's wombs, that God put us together purposefully and for a reason, and had a plan for us even before we took our first breath, that God has these plans for us. There are times, though, when people are born with a disability. Maybe they're born blind, or they're born with Down syndrome, or something else that the world would look at and say that's a disability, or something's wrong here. Maybe there's an abnormality in some way. And when we see this happen, we're often tempted to think that God may have made a mistake. But I don't want you to listen to any of that garbage, because that's not true, because God does not make mistakes. In John, particularly John chapter 9, we can read this passage, because many times man has asked the question, why? Seeking to understand why certain situations take place. But in John chapter 9, there was a group of religious leaders, Pharisees, that brought a man to Jesus. He had been blind since he was born. And when they brought this man in, they basically put him in front and said, "Okay, Jesus, I want you to tell us, who sinned, this man's mother or his father, that he would be born blind?" You see, they had tied this man's disability to sin, and they thought that somebody needed to pay a price, basically, for this. They wanted to know what was going on, and so they brought this man to Jesus. And here's what Jesus said about this man, who the Pharisees saw as cursed. This man who the Pharisees had saw as having God's hand of judgment poured out upon him. This is what Jesus said about this man. John 9:3 says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." You see, God had a plan for this man's blindness. God had a plan for this man's infirmity. God had a plan for this man's weakness here. God had a plan for what some people had considered a curse. God had a plan for what some people thought was a mistake. God had a plan. Now, I'm not talking about the children that we see today that are born with fetal alcohol syndrome, or they're born with an addiction that they did not desire on their own. This is a different story, a different thing. We know and we educate women that when they're pregnant, there's certain things you shouldn't do that will affect the health of this baby for its whole life. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that in this scenario. But even if that's the case, I want to just tell you something. God can move. Even in our brokenness, even in our weakness, he can move to do things to bring him glory. He can use those situations to bring him glory. And so when we face these types of situations, the questions that we begin to ask, if we're believers, if we're followers, aren't, why me, God? I mean, that's the question that so many ask all the time. And so it's not, why me, God? But the question is this, is, God, how can this life bring you glory? And that's a question that we all have to answer, because we're all created by God for purpose, intentionally, to bring glory to our Almighty God. But we doubt so much of the time. We doubt so much of the time because we focus on the areas of our perceived lack. We focus on the areas that we don't feel like measure up. Maybe you have a problem that's not as serious as blindness. You know, maybe it's just that I'm just really shy. God can't use me. Maybe you look at yourself and you think, well, I'm not attractiveness, or I don't have enough finances, or I don't know, whatever. Maybe I'm not just talented or smart enough, or whatever it is. I want to tell you something. When you're thinking this way and you're giving God excuses for why you can't do what God is calling you alone to do, why you can't do what God has intentionally purposed for you alone to do, then you are making your life all about you. And it's not about you. It's about him. It's about him. And when we can understand and grasp that we were created not for our purposes, but for his purposes, then we can begin to understand what Dave says, that I praise you here because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you know that full well? Or do you look at your life and define yourself by the things you don't have, by the abilities you don't possess, by the things you used to be able to do? One of the worst things that happens as we age, and I'm learning this at 35, which is sooner than I'd hope to learn it, is that there are things I used to be able to do that I can't do now. Kind of, we define ourselves and think about, well, I can't do that anymore. That's not how we're to think. That's not how we're to be. We're to say, God, how can I use the life that you've given me now to bring you honor, to bring you glory with what I have now? Instead of lamenting the things we wish we could have, instead of groaning over the ways we wish things could be, God is saying, I've given you the gift of the present. Don't live in the past. God's saying, I've put you here now for a reason. Don't wish for everything to change. The greater the difficulty you face, the greater the glory God can receive. God has called you, made you, crafted you intentionally and with a purpose. And it's to bring him glory. There's a reason behind you in every aspect of what makes you who you are. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece, his workmanship. When I think about that, I think about, you know, when you travel down to Silverado City, you see these artisans that are carving or they're blowing glass. And they're putting so much focus, so much effort into making something as perfect as they can make it. And they can never be perfect, but God made you perfect in his sight. He says that you are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship. And he created you anew in Christ Jesus. so we can do the good things that he's planned. From the moment of your conception, God began a specific and intentional work in you for you to become who he intended for you to be. He knit you together. This was not an accident. He created you for a purpose. There's nothing accidental about the purpose that God has for your life. And so as we begin to look at this and embrace this, one of the things that keeps us from the purposes and plans that God has is sometimes we embrace the dreams that we have above his plans and dreams. I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with dreams. I love having an idea. I love other people with vision. I'm a visionary person. But we have to look at everything we do, everything we hope for, everything we're striving for, and have to say, how will this bring God glory? Because I want to tell you something. God's plan is better than your dream. God's plan for you will bring you more joy. God's plan for you will bring you more peace, more fulfillment in your life than anything you can cook up on your own. God has a path that's planned and a purpose for you to pursue. And the secret to life is to give your heart to God in such a way that your dreams become his dreams for you. Your will becomes his will. That it all conforms to him. John the Baptist said it like this. And of course you need to know that according to God's word, there was none greater than John the Baptist. And here's why. I believe this verse, John 3:30, sums it up so well. John said this, that he, talking about Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. That he would become greater and greater, and I would become less and less, to the point of that our reflection in that mirror looks like him. Now, ladies, I'm not saying you have to grow a beard. But I am saying that what God is calling us to is to put off our ways and to put on his ways, to the point where we are those changed people in every way. See, God is calling us to this. God has purposed us for this. And this is where living with intentionality and purpose starts. It starts with him and trusting that his best is the best for us. You see, God has given us plenty of reason why we can trust him, why we should trust him. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That in all things, even those times when things don't go as you plan and don't go as you hope, even when you get that bad news, that in all things God is working together for the good of those who love him and been called according to what? His purpose. See, there's a purpose for everything he allows you to face in life. How much glory does God receive whenever a miraculous miracle of healing takes place? It's powerful. But can I tell you something? There is an inestimable amount of glory that comes when God's people struggle through things and maintain faith even though they're not getting their way. Let me tell you why. Everyone can praise God in the middle of a miracle. That's easy. But to praise God in the storm, that has value. That has strength. People can look at that and say, there must be something unique and different about this God that person would love him and pray to him even though they're not getting things the way they want. There's something different about that. See, God uses all things. Nothing's neglected. Jeremiah 29:11, we've heard this a lot around here too. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. See, there are times in life that it seems like the plans that God has just aren't going anywhere. We're not getting the traction we think we ought to get. We are waiting and waiting and waiting for direction. And you know what I'm not good at? Waiting. But he says, for I know the plans that I have for you. It's plans to prosper. I'm not talking snake oil religion. I'm talking plans to take care of you. Plans that aren't going to fade. God's plans are eternal. Now, do you understand? You are going to live eternally somewhere. God's plans for you are eternal. They're not going to fade. And though you may face difficulty in this situation, uncertainty in this situation, God has a plan for you that will take you from here to glory. Whatever you're facing now is worth going through. See, John chapter 10, verse 10, starts off by telling us what the devil likes to do. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But look what it says that Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Your translation might say more abundantly. See, there's a difference between living and just existing. Jesus says, I've come that they might have life. Really living life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Life. But this life that I give, it's not just exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide. It's not just putting food in our system. This life that I give is more abundantly. You know, I'm not talking about snake oil Christianity. I'm not talking about you pray this prayer, you plan $1,000, God's going to send you a $1 million check. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that he gives us a fullness and a depth of life that we cannot have without him. Everything we pursue in this world is empty because it will end. But God's plans last forever. That's what he's calling us to. So we can read these promises in Scripture. We can hear these testimonies from people, story after story, about how God has been faithful throughout lifetimes, about how God works to change us and mold us and to make us into who he is calling us to be. But even in that, it gets possible to be discouraged. It's possible to be riddled with doubt because sometimes believing that God's best is the best is so hard. But I want to tell you something right now. The sacrifice that he is calling you to is worth it. It's worth it. Cyrus, in history, he's the one who founded the Persian Empire. One day he had came through and he had conquered a new territory. And he brought the rulers of that territory in to question them and ask them questions. And so here is a prince and his family. And Cyrus says to this prince, he says, what would you give me if I spared your life? And the prince answers Cyrus back. He says, I would give you half of everything that I own. And he says, what if I release your children? Cyrus says, I will give you everything that I possess. The prince said to Cyrus. Cyrus finally said to the prince, he says, and what if I allow your wife to live? The prince responded back, then king, I would give you my very self. Cyrus was so moved by the prince's devotion that he freed them all. And as they returned home, the prince said to his wife, wasn't the king a handsome and a powerful man? And with a look of love for her husband, she looked at him and said, I did not notice. I was compelled by the one who was willing to give himself for me. You see, whenever we are so full of the understanding that God gave everything for you, that God believes so much in your purpose, that he intentionally sent his son, then nothing else that can take away our distractions, the times when we feel like we're far away, nothing else can distract us from what God wants in our life, because nothing else is so beautiful. I want you to know right now that the purpose that God has for you, the purpose that God has for this church, that purpose is so important. God sent his son. Every step on the way to the cross was intentional. Every drop of blood fell with God's permission. Every bit of it. He loves you that much. So it's no wonder that it's his purpose and his plan that we pursue and not our own. There are those times. There are those times that as we pursue him, it does feel like he's distant. I believe God uses those to make us more thirsty, to make us more hungry, to make us lean in even closer on him. And for those of you who are going through those times, I just want to read a passage of scripture that encourages me. It's Isaiah 58:11. It says this, and the Lord will guide you. What a promise. The Lord will guide you continually. and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. He will guide us continually. He will guide us continually. It means he doesn't stop. It means he continues on. That when we want to give up, God continues to help us take steps that we need to take. He says he'll make our bones strong. When we don't have the strength to do what we need to do on our own, that God will give us the strength to continue. God promises this. It says, he will satisfy our desires. Do you even know what it means to be satisfied? We live in a country that is so consumed with consumerism. It's because we don't know what it means to be satisfied. He says he'll satisfy. He says it will be like a garden, like a spring of water, water that doesn't fail. Water is life. This week while we were in Haiti, we were working in the hot sun, and I can tell you that you can't drink the water in Haiti. It'll mess you up. But as we were working, whenever it came time to take a break, everyone went to the cooler, and they didn't go for that ice-cold Coca-Cola. As good as that is, you know what they wanted? They wanted the water. Water satisfies. Water brings life. Water's good. It's good for the soul. And it says that he will make us like that garden, like a water garden, a spring of water whose waters do not fail. You see, that kind of a life is the result of living and following God with intentionality and purpose. Some people have a legitimate struggle, though. They'll tell me, Kelly, I've been trying this, and I can't follow God. And if that's you, if you're telling me, I can't follow God, I want to tell you something. I agree. You can't, particularly if you're trying to do this on your own. Particularly if you think within your own strength that you can follow him. Because God has called us to follow him, to rely on his strength. That his strength is made perfect in our weakness, not our strength. So if you're trying to follow him in your strength, you are going to fail. Just get used to it. But God has called us to follow him. God has called us to allow his spirit to so fill our lives that he would guide our each and every step. And you can't do that on your own, but you can do that with him. I believe in this, that as we give ourselves to him, as we continue to place him on the throne of our hearts, that he will continue to work on us and develop within us the ability to follow him more and more. In fact, it says in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That he's going to finish what he started in you. So this person who struggles says, I can't, I'm going to tell you this, you will. Continue to give it to the Lord. Continue to go to him. Continue to give your life to him. Continue to walk in him. Continue to seek understanding. And you will carry it on to completion. He will finish what he started. Philippians 2:13 says that for God is working for you, working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He's not only giving you the ability, he's giving you the desire, the want to please him. God is doing this in our lives. This is the process of us becoming more and more like him in his image. It's biblical word. It's sanctification. He's making us follow him in this way. God is giving us this ability. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us do this. And God is calling us to. He's giving us that power, that desire, and extending it to us more and more each day. But can I tell you something? Just to be real, that even though God is working in these ways, it never ever happens on accident. You're not going to follow God accidentally. You're not going to obey God accidentally. You're not going to be the person who God has called you to be accidentally. It's going to take deliberate steps, deliberate choices that you and you alone can make. Jesus made it plain to us that he had a plan, but also that we have specific steps we need to take to follow it. So if you turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, we're going to read just a couple of those. Now, this is the longest chapter in the Bible, so we're not going to read it all. But I want to just highlight a couple of them as we in the first few verses here, because it just sticks out. It says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. You know what? You have to intentionally decide you want to keep his statutes. You have to guard your heart to make sure you're seeking him with all your heart. And you don't do that by accident. It says over here, it says in verse 3 that they walk in his ways. It says that you have laid down the precepts that are to be fully obeyed. See, God gives you the option. You don't have to obey. He doesn't make you obey. But if you want to walk in his light, if you want to become the person he's called you to be, that obedience is the key. It's something you have to do. Verse 7 says, I will praise you with an upright heart. We don't praise him by accident either. It's intentional. We have to look at the situations that we face and praise God even in the middle of our storm, even in the middle of our difficulty, to praise him when the news is bad. Verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. Verse 20 says, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. Verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. I've set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. See, these are the things that we do as we move forward with intentionality and purpose. None of these things happen haphazardly or just on their own. We march forward in purpose, intentionally taking each step as God directs. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for direction in your life, God's word is a great place to start. This will not lead you wrong. It will lead you hard, because some of the changes you need to make are not going to be easy, but he will lead you. Maybe you're new to this whole thing and you want to find out more. So you know, you're opening up the Bible and you're reading about how to kill sheep and goats and you don't think that applies to your situation. You're probably right. But there is wisdom there to help you. There's wisdom there to guide you. And God has provided all that you need. I'm going to close with this, and then we have a quick video I want to show you. And we're going to tell you a little bit about our trip to Haiti. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Maybe you know this and haven't memorized. But this is what the intentionality is all about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And here's the promise. And he will direct your paths. You see that? That's intentional. That trust is intentional. That not leaning on your own understanding, that's intentional. And just like those things are intentional, when God provides that direction, that's also intentional. He has a plan for your life. Jeff and Carol, why don't you guys come on up and we'll start the video. But I want to show you some of the things we did in Haiti. I want to talk to you about how God's plan unfolded for us in this last week. All right. We've asked Jeff and Kara to come up here because Jeff was instrumental in planning the trip to Haiti with us. And quite honestly, our memory verse today really describes our trip very well. That many are the plans in a man's heart, but God's purpose is the one that prevails. Guys, this is hard. This is Jeff and Kara's last Sunday. And such an honor to spend some of our last times together in Haiti. But I want you to share with the people, you know, kind of what it is that that God did in us on this trip and what happened in Haiti. And it wasn't just about going and giving some things, but won't you just kind of talk about how God moved in your heart on this trip, Jeff, and what he may have said to you.
Wow. Well, I am a very, I try to prepare as much as possible for everything, and you know, I did a lot of the planning and stuff for this trip, and once we got there, you know, and we knew there would be a lot of changing going on, but man, it seems like everything we planned just, you know, was wiped out from the get-go, you know, and you know, I think the Lord was just showing me, you know what? It's not about the schedule. It's not about doing this and this and this. It's about being there and showing the kids love and caring about them. You know, it's not about, you know, getting A, B, C, and D done while we're there. You know, we need to go show joy and love and care to these kids. And I believe that's what we did. Each of us just had a heart and passion for these kids the moment we stepped onto to Haitian soil. And it was just, it was fascinating to see just how well everybody on our team just worked together. You know, it was just amazing. If I could have handpicked a group of people, there'd probably be a couple more people I would have chosen out of this crowd. But each one of the people that went, you know, it was perfect. And I love that. And that's what missions is about. It's not about throwing money at a cause. It's about going there and interacting and caring about the people that are there. So I believe that's what we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Changed my heart.
Let's kind of talk a little bit about some of the things that we had to change on the trip, because the purpose was to go and have a vacation Bible school and to build an outdoor sanitary kitchen. Every orphanage in Haiti has certain things that they have to follow, and one of the things they have to have for the kids can be there is they have to have a working, clean kitchen. And so that's what we thought we were going to do, and that plan fell apart quickly. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Jeff?
Well, as you saw in the video, we finished the kitchen. So while we were there, the kitchen got built and finished, and all is good. But we went there with the full intent of working hard, swinging hammers and, you know, saws and everything like that. And we get there, and the people that work in Haiti that are construction, they just have this amazing, you know, superhero-like quality about them to do these things quickly. We would jump in there and slow them down. We would try to work and work and work. We would be working hard, but we were slowing them down, and I think they were getting frustrated because they were getting, you know, paid based on, you know, the job. And so they would kind of, you know, really politely push us to the side and grab the shovel and continue going. And so that left us to just maybe clean up the area, and so we were picking up trash and just trying to find stuff that we could do. And so we ran out of time to do that. We're like, well, there's only so much we can do. So we ended up visiting some other orphanages, and it was a good thing. So
tell us about that first orphanage that we went and visited, because that's one that really, I think, sticks out the most in our minds.
Yeah, we drove up. We didn't know what we were coming up on, but we were told there was an orphanage that just had nothing. So we drove up and walked in, and you know, it was just walls. That was basically it. They didn't really have any furniture or anything, and it just looked like an abandoned building. And so we walked in, and all the kids are just sitting there politely, and the lady that's over the orphanage, you know, we're just talking, saying, "Hey, we're here to visit with you and bring you some things that can help." And they were just so grateful, and we brought all that stuff in, and what we brought was basically all that they had had. You know, they didn't really have anything up to that point. We purchased some bags of rice to give them on our way over, and gave that to them, and they were just so very grateful to have that.
They didn't have any food. Literally didn't have any food. We walked in that room, everything you could see was everything they had. The clothes on their back was all the clothes they had. The beds they had didn't even have mattresses. There were some broken desks and a few other things, but that was it. And so we gave them the T-shirts from VBS, hygiene equipment, soap, and the two bags of rice was probably more food than they'd seen in a very, very long time. When we gave them the candy, I was giving kids dumb suckers, and they didn't know what to do with them because they'd never seen one. They didn't know how to open it. My kids can smash a dum-dum before it's out of the plastic from the bag. But they'd never seen one. They never opened one. But when we walked in that door with 100 pounds of rice, this lady, one lady, by herself, takes care of 45 children. She has no sponsorship, no help from anyone else. And so we were able to bless them greatly with what we would just, stuff we'd put in a yard sale around here. She was so thankful for it. God did something pretty big in us and something pretty big on the trip that forced us to alter some of our plans. So tell us a little bit about that, Jeff.
Well, some of you were kind of following the tropical storm here in Haiti, and some of you were concerned about that. The Lord used that in a big way in our life. We were planning to take our kids to the beach and do a VBS, their vacation Bible school. and just have fun with them. And, you know, they don't get to do that a whole lot. Because of the tropical storm, there was some there was just some safety issues because of that. It was a red, code red or something like that. And so the day before, we ended up actually canceling our transportation to go to the beach. And so we had already prepaid. It was a significant amount. And so I asked Kelly, you know, hey, are we going to still have to pay that, or do we get that refund? And he said, well, we've decided to purchase food for this orphanage that doesn't have anything. We purchased rice and beans.
Cornmeal and pasta.
Cornmeal and pasta, and we're going to purchase some with that money that we would have spent taking our kids to the beach. We're going to use that and give it to this orphanage that doesn't have anything. And it's going to feed them, you know, throughout the summer and on past that as well. So God really took that, and he said, you know what, you have your plans to go to the beach with the kids. That's great and that's fun, but I have bigger and better plans for this money. And it was great to know that it was going toward just a wonderful cause, and you know, we wanted to help out however we could. So,
amen. Karen, first service, you said something that was absolutely beautiful about what God did in you through this trip, and I'd like you to share that again.
Well, we were talking about how the plans had changed, and that started the minute we got to St. Louis and our hotel was closed, and so we had no place to sleep. So God used that situation, I believe, to have all of us minister and witness to the people that were there that were upset that they didn't have a place to sleep that night either. I mean, this lady was on the phone ranting and slamming her hand on the steering wheel, and we're all just sitting there just kind of going with the flow and flexing, and and that speaks volumes to people when they're in a bad situation and things don't work out as planned. And from that minute forward, I think it kind of flipped a switch in all of us that we're on a missions trip. We got to go with the flow and flex. And, you know, you had asked me in first service what God had done in my heart there. And there was a little boy named Gavison. And the first 2 days, the ladies really weren't allowed to work. Neither were the men, for that matter, in the construction. But we went around and we picked up trash. And their trash is thick. And there was this one spot that was by the garden, and it was literally a dump. And so we're sitting there, and we're picking it up, and we're putting it in a bag so we can go put it in the burn pit. And this little boy named Gavison stood there, and he jumped in the middle of the pit barefoot and is scooping it all together. And he was taking pride in helping us, and he was so excited to be there and see us and help us. And he's scooping it all up, and he wouldn't let me bend down to pick it up. He wanted me to hold the bag. And he just... somehow we connected in the dump, and he just, I don't know, his smile just captivated and stole my heart right away. And so the last day that we were there, that we did the VBS at the school, we walked from the orphan house to the school and then back to the orphan house with the kids, and he searched for me that whole day, and he would come and he'd give me a hug or whatever. And on the way back to the orphan house, it was our last time seeing each other, and I was holding his hand, and I was thinking about his mom. And I don't know what his story is. Some of the orphans still have parents that they've just, the parents can't take care of them, and they've surrendered them to the orphanage to be cared for. And I just was sitting there, and it just, the Lord impressed on my heart that I'm there in place of his mother that day, walking him to school. And I bent down, and I, you know, I know very little French, but I bent down and I said, "Je t'aime," which means I love you. And he just squeezed my hand, and he pulled my arms around him, and I gave him a hug. And at first I thought that that was probably overstepping what I'm supposed to do, you know, that I probably shouldn't have said that to him. And then I thought, no, because I'm here to be God's hands, and I'm here to be God's feet. And all day, every day in that orphan house, they hear that Jesus loves you and God loves you. But how many times has he heard, "I love you"? And so the scripture says that God has called us by name. We are his, and he loves us. And so in so doing, I was being tangible. I was being Jesus and his and the arms that would wrap around him and say, I love you. That he made a connection with somebody that sacrificed a week with my own kids to be there in place of a mother that's not present every day in his life, to just wrap my arms around him and say, I love you.
That made a difference.
And that made a difference, and that's why I was there.
Amen. Guys, I didn't ask you this first service, but I'm going to ask you this now. You know, we go on these trips, we kind of go, we come back, we have time to reflect and think about the purpose that we serve when we go. What about the purposes that God has called us to here? Do you think they're much different?
They're not. And I think going over there, I think for each one of us that went over there, can now see here in Lebanon, Missouri, wow, there's a need there. There's a need there. When maybe we couldn't before we went on something like this. And I know one of the people that went on the trip said they opened up their cupboard.
Yeah.
Just saw everything that was in it, and you know, five boxes of cereal and three gallons of milk, and just like, wow, that's so much money in Haiti. You know, they have very little, and they get by with very little, and they're content with very little because they don't need all that because they can't have it. There's so much that we can do here in our own community. If you're not called outside of the United States, there's so much going on here. And LifePoint has a heart for Lebanon, for Missouri, for the U.S. as well. And we want to have a very well-rounded mission statement to where, you know, we're not just affecting those worlds outside of us where we don't have to go and face every day. You know, we're willing to help out in our own community and the homeless. And there's orphans and widows in our town as well. And there's people that just don't have everything they need. And we need to care for them just as we would our orphanage in Haiti.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, if you're not called to missions outside the country, that means you're called to missions right where you're at.
Yeah.
And I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
Speaking of a calling, guys, Jeff and Kara are leaving us. This is their last Sunday with us. Pursue their own call to go work in a church in Albuquerque. And guys, I just want to say thank you for your ministry here, for the way that you've touched me. I'm a big sissy. But for the way you've touched our church, guys, we love you. We want God's best for you. So church, will you join us in praying for Jeff and Kara as they pursue the call that God has on their life? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Jeff and Kara, God, for the trip that we're able to go on to minister to these kids. Father, I pray that that your blessing would be upon all involved. God, on Jeff and Kara, as they are pursuing the direction that you have called them in their life. Father, as they see your plan unfold and the purpose that's behind it. God, I pray that you would help them take all the steps they need to continue to live and walk in your light. God, bless the kids as they have to go make new friends and start all over again. But Father, may they know the power of your Spirit and the power of your love through all of this. God, I pray that you'd be with those children that we were able to be with. God, may your hand be on them in a unique and a powerful way. Father, we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Guys, thank you. Guys, God has a plan for your life, and it's not to live by accident. It's to walk according to his plan for you. If you want to know what it is, I'll tell you. Seek him with all your heart. Call out to him, and he will hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us. God, for blessing us in so many ways. God, I pray that you'd be with everyone that's here today, and Father, particularly for those who are still seeking to find their way. God, I thank you for the wonderful news of new birth that I received when we came home. God, thank you for leading people to you. For anybody today, Father, that hasn't made that decision to follow, to trust, to take that next step that you're calling them to, whatever it may be. God, I pray that you would grant faith and strength. Lord, I believe with every fiber of my being that your ways are the best ways. Lord, let us seek nothing higher than you and nothing lower. Father, be with us. Guide us. Direct us. As you speak to us, help us to listen. And Lord, give us courage to follow. In your name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Grace and peace. We'll see you next week, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for the LifePoint Podcast. For more information or to donate, you can find us on the web at www.lifepointlebanon.com. To keep up to date with everything that goes on at LifePoint, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LifePointLebanon or on Twitter. Our username is @LifePoint_LEB. Until next week, take care and God bless.